Well, good morning. We're thankful that the Lord has given Sister Nina another birthday. And we're thankful for all of her family that's here. And I'm thankful for some of my family that's here. This morning I'd like to look and start off in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Known as the chapter of faith. But I'd like to start reading in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now I'd like to drop on down to verse 13. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity of returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." I was thinking about here, this is the genealogy of Christ. It starts off with Abel and Enos. And Abel wasn't the genealogy of Christ, but Seth, his brother Seth was. Who means Seth that God had raised up in his stead. But these were people that they had a desire for something different. And that's mentioned in verse 10 where he says, "For he looked," talking about Abraham, "he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham made a choice and a decision in his life. Somewhere along the point, God was talking to him and dealing with him. But he made a choice and a decision to follow God in his life. He was looking for a city. He was looking for something that this life could not offer him. He was looking for something different, something better, something more permanent, something more fulfilling, something more substantial than just what this life had to offer. We also see this in Moses's, in the reading of Moses, in verse 24, the same chapter, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now Moses, and it's not just these two, it's the others also, Joseph. He made a choice, he made a decision that he was going to follow God and serve God. And he did that. He could have become a bitter man, he could have been full of hatred towards what his brothers did to him. But these people, they got a glimpse of something and they followed. They left what they had. They left what was afforded to them in search for something better, seeking after God in their lives. And I believe these scriptures, I believe they wanted eternal life. I believe they wanted, he mentions here, Moses had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He realized there's something more to life than just the physical and just the things that we see. And, you know, I think about Moses, he had everything that they had to offer. Egypt was... Probably what we'd call a world power. They were very powerful people. The Hebrews were their slaves. They had pyramids going up, things happening there. He had everything. All the riches of Egypt was there at his disposal. But he chose something different. He was able to see beyond the shallowness and of this life, of this world. And he made a choice in his heart. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. Because it said he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He wasn't just looking at the temporary and right now. He was looking beyond. And Lord, help us today. We appreciate those that have made a decision, a choice, a commitment, have entered into a covenant with God, seeking something above and beyond what this world has to offer. You know, this world doesn't satisfy. This world within itself, it cannot satisfy. During Sunday school this morning, the scripture came to my mind and said, he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver. You know, I read on, there was a news little clip, a billionaire the other day committed suicide. He recognized that what he had didn't meet his need. It wasn't fulfilling him. It didn't fulfill him, even though he was a billionaire and he probably could have done anything that he wanted to do. It didn't satisfy. It didn't meet the need of his heart and his life. And I'm thankful today that God has the capacity to satisfy the inner longing of our heart and our spirit. He's able to fill us and give our life purpose and give our life meaning. Sometimes, like Abraham, we don't always know what God is going to lead and what he's always doing in our lives, but we can trust him that he's doing. He wants to do for us the best. You know, the problem sometimes with us is we get things in our heart and mind and we think this will bring me happiness. This will bring me what I've been looking for, what I've been desiring in my life. But the enemy has allurements and things, and they don't really if it's outside of what the Scriptures are teaching, it doesn't satisfy the human heart. It won't meet the need of a person's life. And I believe these people were seeking something different. They made choices. The wording here really stood out to me, that he was looking for a city that has foundations. He was looking for something more than what he had. He was seeking after and searching. And then it mentions here, he said, they seen the promises afar off, they were persuaded of them. They were persuaded, they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. You know, the Lord wants us to be strangers and pilgrims. He doesn't want this to be our home. This is not our final destination. This is not what I'm living for. This is not it just for the here and for the now. It's something richer. It's something far above and beyond that what this life can afford and what this life has to offer. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 12th verse, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So these scriptures are inviting us to go to Jesus outside the camp that was bearing his reproach, bearing his reproach, taking part of who he is. Because it says here we have no continuing city. And I don't have to tell us this morning. We all know this life is going to pass away. Not only us, but this world, the Scriptures teach us, this world, this earth is going to pass away. It's going to be gone. Lord, help us not to make this our home. Help us to recognize that we are strangers, that we're pilgrims, bearing the reproach of Christ. When people look at us as odd and different, help us, Lord, to be willing to bear the reproach of Christ. He said, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I want to get another verse in the book of Romans, the eighth chapter. I read this a while back and it stood out to me. I want to read it this morning, Romans 8. Starting at verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, it talks about the creature being made subject to vanity, and I believe it's talking about our mortal, our bodies, our mortality, the subject of pain and suffering and difficulties in life. And I want to say overall, I'll just say life has been very good to me. God has been very good to me. I have been very blessed, and spiritually and physically, in so many different ways. But there is pain. There is pain in this life. There is heartbreak in this life. There are many tears that are shed, saved and unsaved, that are shed in this life. There are many difficulties. There are dreams sometimes. There are things that don't go maybe quite like we expected or that we thought. But that's part of the creature being made subject to vanity. But we're looking forward to the time when we can be changed into the glorious liberty of immortal life, of eternal life. And that's what we want in our hearts and minds. We want to live for eternity today. We want to keep heaven in view. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian ran out of the city, he plugged his ears and he said, "Life, life, eternal life." He was looking for eternal life. And I believe I gave my heart for that very reason. I wanted eternal life. I wanted to be able to live with God in heaven and His kingdom. And we need to keep these things. All these people made up that choice, that decision. And their decisions reflected the choice they made. The decisions they made. When he turned his back on Egypt, it was saying, "I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger here." It was saying, "I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for something beyond what this life can afford and what it can supply." And we want our decisions, our life, also to declare plainly that we're seeking a city. We're seeking something above and beyond. Not the present life. In Pilgrim's Progress, there's a picture of these two young boys are in this room and they're waiting for their inheritance. And one boy, he doesn't want to wait. He wants it right now. Give it to me now. But the other one, he was patient and he was willing to wait. And they brought in their inheritance. The one boy got his inheritance, and he said he just, in just a little short time, just spent, went through the inheritance like it was nothing there. And he was left with nothing. And when he was left with nothing, they brought in the other boy's inheritance. And John Bunyan, he made comment, he said, these represent two people. They represent the men of this world who want their pleasures, they want everything, self-gratification, they want it now. But the other one represents God's children that are patient and willing to wait for their promised possession. I believe heaven is a sure place. I believe God hasn't deceived us. Said He went to prepare a place for us, that where He is, we could be also. I believe it's there for us. I want to get 1 John, the second chapter, in the 15th verse. He says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world, the lust of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's going to fade. It's going to vanish. It's going to pass away. But it said, he that does the will of God, he that surrenders his heart to God. And we get that in the life of Abraham. Abraham, the Lord asked him to offer up his son. What would Abraham's son Isaac represent? Perhaps his future, his happiness. But Abraham, he believed in God. He was willing. He surrendered to the Lord. He yielded everything into God's hand. The Lord doesn't do that to make our life miserable and to take away happiness and to make life painful for us. He does that because He knows that when we put Him first, we enjoy life so much better. Life is so much more meaningful. The silver is able to satisfy. Things are a blessing when we put God first in our life. And we want Him to be first. We want Him to be number one. But this world is going to pass. There's another scripture that came to my mind this morning, Isaiah the 40th. See if I can find it real quick. Isaiah the 40th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. The glory of man, the strength of man, is like the flower that's going to just here for a little while, looks good for a little bit. But then, poof. You know, the other day I was working on trimming some trees, and I noticed the chainsaw, I had to start swinging it up to get it up in position. And it wasn't my muscles, but it was my joints. My joints, my elbow hurt. If I tried to just lift the chainsaw up, they're not that big. But I had so much pain in my elbow. Didn't used to be that way. But we're grass. One place I believe it said, man at his best state is altogether vanity. We're subject to corruption. We're subject to disease. We're subject to pain and difficulty. And I'm so thankful today that we have, that the Lord has offered us something better. I'm thankful that we have hope this morning. Something beyond. A great reunion. I'd like to get Revelation, 21st chapter. Revelation, the 21st chapter and the first verse. He said, and I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I want to drop down to verse 10. It says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I want to drop on down now again. It says, the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. And I believe the scripture we read that Abraham, it said he looked for a city that had foundations. This said it had 12 foundations. It sounds very permanent to me. It's not going to be moved. It's not going to be bombed. Time will have no effect on the city. In the Septuagint, no, in the Greek, on the Abraham looking for a city has foundations, it said, whose design and architect is God. God is the architect. He's the designer. He's the maker. In verse 23, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm thankful this morning that I believe there's a city. It's going to be so much better than the cities we have here. I can't tell you, I can't really describe. It'd be nice to have a vision like John and see what he saw. I did have a little vision years ago, but I really still can't describe it all. One place it talked about, it says in verse 18, the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. I remember years ago, I was working at the print shop, and anyway, they invited me to go tour the houses at Nichols Hills. I don't know if any of you heard of Nichols Hills in Oklahoma City. It's the elite. They showed me around the staircase. The crown molding had layers like this. The ceilings were probably 12 feet. I don't remember how tall they were, but they're, what I do remember was they're, master closet was about the size of my living room where I was living. Everything was so nice, so plush. It was just finished. And I started driving home with a heavy heart. What am I living for? And I don't know how it came about, but I remember singing a song about heaven. And it was like the glory of God opened up to my spirit. And I knew I had made the right choice. I knew I'd made the right decision. By the time I got home, I was a happy camper. I was so excited. This morning, let's not lose sight of what we're living for. This life, it's not going to do it for us. It's got too much trouble, too much sin, too much heartache. But we're seeking a city where all tears will be wiped away, the former things will pass away. Let's keep our heart steadfast on heavenly things this morning. Set our affections on things above. We've got to pursue this just like they did. We've got to follow after, seek after. And I believe someday it will be worth it all. I believe there's going to be a great reunion. You know, my grandmother's birthday is tomorrow, been March 6th, and I'm very grateful. My grandmother brought me to church. I wasn't a regular member here. It was very, very sporadic. But she took me to Monarch as a young child. God was revealed to my heart as a young child. I was probably about the third grade when I really, truly felt that God was real. I'm thankful that my grandmother did that for me, because I felt the Lord's dealings with me, and they were very real. Anyway, I appreciate that gift that she gave to me. Lord, help us today to pass on a gift to those that are around us, a testimony, a gift, that we're just pilgrims and strangers. Appreciate your attention this morning.